بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, every parent, mother or father experiences great joy and happiness at the success, the happiness and the progress of their children. And every parent, similarly, experiences a great amount of anxiety, distress at the failure and the retrogression of one's child. And this attitude or this reaction of the parent can easily be understood or is easily signified in the year-end results of the academic year. There is that child, that son or daughter, who produces outstanding results and who comes home with an excellent report and displays this to the parent. And naturally, the parent on that occasion, the mother or the father, is elated and is joyous and shares in the happiness of that child. Then you have a child who comes home and for whatever reason has performed poorly during the academic year. He or she has not produced the results that the parent had expected of them. And when they come home and they display their results to the parents and their failure or their poor performance during that academic year, naturally the parent, the father or the mother, is overcome with a certain degree of anxiety, grief, and distress. This is one example, and there are many other such examples. While others might express distress and anxiety at your success, you will find that your parents, the mother and the father, will never do that. Sometimes even one's own siblings, one's own brother or sister, might feel depressed and might feel saddened at the success and the progress and the prosperity of one's own brother or sister. Now this should remind us, especially in light of the example which I have cited, the results at the end of the academic year, it should remind us of a similar scene or a similar situation of far greater intensity, of course, of the year after. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks of the presentation and the handing out of results to the different ibad and to the different servants. Allah depicts a beautiful picture and a beautiful scene of that moment of the day of Qiyamah. When you will witness your child and you will witness yourself, in fact, you will experience it yourself, where you will be given results, literally. You will be given results for the examination of life that you had experienced during your stay in this world. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the one who will be handed his results, his record in his right hand, which is an indication of his success in the examination. When that result or that record is handed to him or to her in the right hand, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ ha umqra kitabiya. You will become so happy. That child of yours, you will witness this happening before your eyes. Your child receiving those results in the right hand, he will become so happy and so elated. The first thing he will do is he will shout out to everyone, ha, come, iqra'u kitabiyah. Come and study my results. Look at my performance. Observe my achievements. He will be so happy and so elated. And that's what happens in this world and in this life as well. Ask those matriculants who have passed, and especially those who have passed with distinction. The first thing they do is they go to their parents and to their relatives and to their friends, and they go about displaying those results. I have seen certain parents sharing the academic results of the previous year of their children on social media. We shouldn't be doing that, but that just signifies the level of happiness and joy that they wish to share it with the world out there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a side note, says that istaeenu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil kitman. Listen, your success in life, keep it under wraps. Don't go about displaying it and advertising it and broadcasting it. Fa'inna kulla dhi ni'matin mahsood. You will become a victim of the next person's envy and jealousy. Now imagine displaying the report or displaying that matric results on social media, and you have another parent who's dealing with a child who failed, who's attempting or who's considering suicide. How will that now affect that parent, and especially that child as well? So Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, the child of yours, and you as well, when you will receive the results in your right hand, may Allah make us from amongst those. The first thing he will do, اقرأوا كتابية, come my friends, look at my report. He will display it to everyone before him. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ. I knew I'm going to receive my record in my right hand. Like the student who passed the examination, who passed the matric exam, who received 7 or 8 distinctions. What does he say? He said, I knew I was going to crack it. I studied hard. I put in a lot of effort. The paper was a breeze. I knew, I was convinced that this would be the result. Similarly, that person, he knew that in the worldly life, the examination of life, he had made the effort. He lived his life according to the demands of Allah. He did not transgress the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set for him in this life. And he knows that he lived a life of piety to the best of his ability, with sincerity, with ikhlas. His first expression will be, إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَةً. According to the life that I lived, I was convinced that this was going to happen to me, that these were to be my results. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Allahu Akbar. You know, just I'm trying to draw a comparison between the results received in the previous academic year, perhaps, and in every other year, in the past and to come. The first thing, when you look at your child's results and you look at the amount of distinctions that he has achieved or that she has achieved, the first thing that comes to your mind is that my child has a bright future ahead. When you look at their academic achievements, the first thing that comes to your mind, this child of mine, the son of mine, this daughter of mine, will pursue a good career, will have a good job, and will be successful in life. He or she will live a good life. What does Allah say about this person who receives that record in his right hand? فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He is going to live a blissful life ahead. He is set. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. Number one, Allah says, that child, that person who receives those results in the right hand, فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, Allah will accommodate that person in a lofty, high Jannah, an elevated paradise. Think of that moment when you see your child walking onto the podium or walking onto the stage in order to receive those awards, going onto that elevated place to receive that award. What joy does that not bring to the heart? Imagine witnessing your child being elevated in high stages, placed on a high podium of Noor on the day of Qiyamah. Unimaginable the joy and the happiness that will prevail within the heart of the parent on that day. Qutufuha daniya. Allah gives a simple description of the Jannah, one of the many luxuries that your child will enjoy and that you will enjoy inshallah on the day of Qiyamah. In that Jannah, Allah says, قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً, the fruits will be brought low, hanging low for that person freely, so that he may easily pick those fruits and have them. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, Allah will say to that person that eat and drink. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا, freely and in abundance. بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ, for all the effort that you made in the previous life, the hard work, the perseverance, and your commitment and your loyalty to the deen of Allah, all of that that you have done, now eat, drink, enjoy, live a life of happiness and bliss. So there you have one scene of a student who had performed well in the academic year, and that person who performed well during the examination of life and is presented with the result in the akhirah. Allah speaks of another. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ, another person will come before Allah and he will be given his record, the results, his achievements, if any. It will be given to him in his left hand, which signifies his failure in the akhirah. And what will his first expression be? And how will he react to the situation? فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَ, ask the child who is given his matric results or is given his academic results at the end of the year and he know he has failed, he wouldn't want to look at the results. He look at it once and he wouldn't want to look at it again. But the one who had achieved and worked hard and who had succeeded, he look at his results over and over and over again. But this person, what will he say? Ya laytani lam uta kitabiya, I wish I was not even given my results. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَهِ, I wish I did not know what my results were. I wish they did not tell me. I wish I did not have to look into the newspaper and see my results displayed there. I wish no one knew of it, including myself. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ, I wish my death had been the decisive one. How many a student at the end of the academic year contemplates suicide? The embarrassment, the shame, the anxiety, the distress is too much to bear. The shame that he has brought upon himself, either deliberately or otherwise, and the shame that the parents have to now put up with, and the face that the father has to now show in society. All that anxiety is of such a level that many a times the student contemplates suicide. Allah says the same will happen in the akhirah. When the person is given those results and he realizes that he has failed in his examination of life, the first thing will come to his mind, I wish I was dead. I wish I could die right now. I cannot put up and I cannot live with the shame and the anxiety that has overcome me on this day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Brothers, the fire of Jahannam is a reality. As much as Jannah is a reality and death is a reality, and the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haqq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "An-naru haqq," that the hellfire is a reality. It is there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with certain measures and certain ways and means whereby we may protect and safeguard ourselves against the fire of Jahannam. And Allah addresses the believers and specifically the fathers in this ayah of Surah Al-Tahrim. O you who have brought iman, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Allah says, save yourselves, guard yourselves, protect yourselves and your children against the hellfire. It is the duty of the father to ensure that he has taken the necessary measures in order to safeguard and protect his children against hellfire. It's the duty. Allah has instructed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has demanded this of the father. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when discussing the commentary of this verse, what are the measures that we are required to employ? What are the means that we should use in order to guard and protect our children against hellfire? Allah is the first thing he says, أَدِّبُوهُنَّ, أَدِّبُوهُنَّ Teach your children good manners. Exemplary manners, good character. Their character should be of an extremely high level. Good manners, good character. Our Prophet ﷺ was so particular about manners that even when it came to table manners, he could not tolerate an ill-mannered person who did not have proper table manners. Once a child was seated with the Prophet ﷺ and he was not observing proper table eating manners. And the Prophet ﷺ stopped the child while he was eating. And Nabi ﷺ says, listen my boy, Samillah, before you eat, take the name of Allah. وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ Eat with your right hand. وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ Don't stretch over the plate. That's not table manners. Eat what is before you. Ask, should you require anything. That is how particular the Prophet ﷺ was about manners. وَأَدِّبُهُنَّ Ali radiallahu anhu says, number one, you as a father must instill within your child is good manners and good character. When it comes to good character, subhanAllah, if you study the Quran, when the Prophet ﷺ exerted himself in salah to an unbearable point, Allah admonished him, hold on, take it easy. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى Take it easy with your salah. When it came to his spending, he had nothing but he would spend. Allah says, O Nabi of Allah, that's not demanded of you. Take it easy with your spending. فَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ Don't stretch out your hand completely. But when it came to character and akhlaq, when he showed the highest level of akhlaq, Allah says, carry on. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ Allah did not stop him or prevent him when it came to his akhlaq and his character. Perfected. جِئْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِكَ الْأَخْلَاقِ So number one, Ali says. Number two, Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, وَعَلِّمُهُنَّ Equip them with ilm, knowledge. Grant them knowledge. Instill within them the importance of studying the Quran and studying the Islamic deen. Now this is the beginning of a new academic year. And many of us have already chosen and selected certain schools where we would like our children to attend or certain programs in which they have enrolled. That's good. But that's as far as the secular sciences are concerned. What about that which is of far greater importance? And that is ilm, Islamic knowledge, Islamic tarbiyah, Islamic training of our children. How much of importance have we attached to that? The first word of revelation from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? Iqra, subhanallah. Have we thought over this? The first word was Iqra. Iqra means read, study, learn, educate yourself. And the last verse of the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ اقْرَى Study, learn. And the last verse of the Quran speaks of our meeting with Allah. Speaks of our meeting with Allah. So the life that you live in this world is a pathway that eventually reaches to Allah. Allah is the destination, the life is the pathway. And what's going to guide you along the way? اقْرَى عِلْم Knowledge. That's what Allah is telling you. In order to successfully reach your destination, that is Allah and the Akhirah, and to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, equipped to an extent where you will receive your results in the right hand, Allah says, in the beginning your journey has to start with iqra, with studying, equipping yourself with ilm, with knowledge. That is where it all starts, and that is where it ends. And throughout the journey, at no point should I feel that it's about time that I can switch the light off. It doesn't work. It has to be an ongoing journey because the road never ends. So you don't switch off that light of seeking knowledge, Quranic knowledge, Islamic knowledge, knowledge of the prophetic traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It never ends because the road doesn't stop until death overtakes you. And unfortunately today we end the Islamic training and the Islamic knowledge that our children need to be equipped with at a very, very early stage in their life. The child reaches high school and that's it, it ends. You switch off the light. And that is when the child now needs to be fully equipped from that moment on. It's like up to that point he was just moving in the residential area. You know, he had nothing major to deal with. He had these little roads and arteries that he had to grapple with. But now that he comes onto the freeway and things are moving much, much faster, you switch off the light. It doesn't work that way. It has to be an ongoing with our children, with ourselves. Equip ourselves. العلم نور والجهل ظلام. Ilm is the light. It's the guide. It's going to guide you to Allah. Worshipping Allah with knowledge is far, far different than worshipping Allah without knowledge. Your piety should never be driven by ignorance. Piety should never be driven by ignorance. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, his words come to my mind. What an amazing thing he said. He says, "Man tasawwafa wa lam yatafaqqa tazandaq." He says, the person who only concentrates on his spiritual reformation, tasawwuf. The word tasawwuf, we are all familiar with it. The word Sufism comes from tasawwuf. He says, if you are only going to concentrate on tasawwuf, on rectifying your inner self and not concentrating on the pursuing of knowledge, and learning the Quran and studying the Quran, he says, you will come up with your own deen, the zandaq. That's what's going to happen. You're going to question everybody else. وَمَنْ تَفَقَّهَ وَلَمْ يَتَصَوَّفْ. And the one who only dedicates time to the seeking of knowledge and is not concerned of self-reformation, تَفَسَّقْ, he will end up and fall into sin. Because you need the spirituality. وَمَنْ تَفَقَّهَ وَتَصَوَّفْ تَحَقَّقْ. But the one who combines the two, he combines tasawwuf with tafaqquh, with the studying of knowledge, he combines the two, tahaqqaq, that person is on the rightly guided path. So let not your piety be driven by ignorance. That is what happened with Shaitan. When his piety was driven by ignorance, it created a sense of pride within his heart. Ilm keeps you grounded. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that khashiyya, that keeps you humble, keeps you grounded, that is truly inspired and given to those who have ilm, those who have studied ilm and dedicated their life to ilm. I received such a pleasing and inspiring phone call this morning. A young man in his mid-30s, perhaps late-30s, he says, "Sheikh, for 4 or 5 years, I traveled abroad, and I was working abroad, and alhamdulillah, I was working for a huge company, and I earned well, and I've accumulated a huge amount of money. Alhamdulillah, I'm back in South Africa, and I've decided I have enough to sustain me for the next 3 or 4 years. I would like to dedicate myself to the study of Quran, Allah." Why? I said, "What inspired you?" He says, "I've realized that I cannot live without the Quran. The Quran is my source of nutrition. It is my source of life." Brothers, everyone does not have that luxury to dedicate a few years of life to the seeking of knowledge, ilm. But if proverb in the Arabic language says, "Ma la yudrak kullu, la yutrak kullu." That which cannot be fully achieved should not be fully abandoned. If something cannot be fully achieved, you cannot dedicate 3 or 4 years of your life to the study of the Quran. If you cannot do it, then at least take out some time. It cannot be fully achieved, do not abandon it fully. So let us pay much importance to this, especially when it comes to our children. That one of the necessary things that we need to equip with them in order for them to achieve distinction in the year after, as we would like them to achieve distinction in this world, is to equip them with ilm, knowledge. And that child of yours, recently a matriculant, 8 distinctions, mashallah. And he sends me a message. He says, "I have decided to pursue a career in Islamic knowledge." He says, but my parents are totally against my decision. I'm sitting with a predicament here. I mean, the first thing that comes to your mind when you see 8 distinctions, medicine. My child will pursue a career in medicine. So when your child has chosen a life of piety and he has chosen a life that he wishes to live within the dictates of Sharia, and he wants his life to be governed by every aspect of his, by the Sharia and the law of Allah, do not be the first one to discourage him. Be the first one to support him, because it's not easy for that youngster to make that decision in the times in which we live. يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ عَلَى دِينِ كَالْقَابِضُ عَلَى جَمْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a time will come upon the ummah, and we are living in that era, where holding on to your deen is as difficult as holding on to a coal of fire. So for that youngster to make that decision, and the first thing that came to their minds, and I think it's societal pressure, the first thing that the parents told him, but look at your cousins and look at your siblings, and what are you doing? How can you? That's the first. So it's much to do with pressure, societal pressure. Now he's got his own pressure to deal with. So you as a parent support and encourage. That will be a source of your investment in the akhirah. I leave you with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kullu mawludin yulad ala al-fitra, fa abawahu yuhawidani aw yunassirani aw yumajjisani." Allah has given you as a parent, Allah has given you the power of influence. Understand that. Not the power of authority and dominance over your child. Power of authority and dominance belongs to Allah. But Allah has given you the power of influence. Your child is a product of your influences. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every child is born uninfluenced on the fitrah, pure, uninfluenced. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ. The parents now direct the child towards Judaism. أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِ, or towards Christianity. أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِ, or to a lifestyle that is foreign to that and alien to that of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.